Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18. If you have a smartphone with you, I'd like to conduct a little experiment. I'd like for you to take it out. Make sure it's off. Don't turn on. Set it in the pew beside you or give it to the person next to you for them to hold it. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to go through your history and look at what you've been looking at, but I want to see if anybody's starting to shake and tremor a little bit. Like, oh, something's missing out of my life. I don't have my phone. Do you realize that there are people that are addicted to their phone? Amen. I mean, it's such a serious addiction. It's broken up marriages. It's destroyed homes. It's gotten young girls pregnant. I mean, there are numerous things about it. There are certain benefits of being able to get online and find information, just about anything. You could be baking and you think, oh, what's the ingredients for chocolate fudge? And you can Google that and find numerous things right at your fingertips. Your car breaks down. You think, what's wrong? It says it's on E. Will a car run if it's empty? You can Google that. It'll give you an answer. There are a lot of things you can learn how to do. You can find information. Somebody's done that before, I guess. But there are a lot of things you can do that certainly are beneficial. You know, certain things about television. They thought television is going to be an educational tool. It's going to bring forth a literate nation. But there are a lot of things that were not anticipated that have come as a result of it. Right. And the same is true of social media. Social media covers a broad spectrum. We're going to limit somewhat what we deal with. But anything that allows you to get on the internet could technically be part of it. Just being on the World Wide Web and be doing searches or following blogs. There are many apps that... But primarily, the things we're going to discuss are the social media ones that we think of that are most prominent. Obviously, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. And these are socializing apps to communicate with people. And there are a number of dangers with them. And in many cases, very few benefits from it. Several years ago, I remember hearing people talk about this new technology. They said, here's where we're going. People are going to be able to get all the information they want right in their hand on a phone. And I thought, that'll never happen. That's impossible. And I didn't invest in Facebook, and I didn't invest in Google or any of the other internet companies, which have made millions of dollars. Facebook was only 13 years old or less, and it is one of the largest companies in the world. To think how all that has happened so quickly. But folks, as Christians, we've got to know and understand that it's not all good. And it's important that we Christianize our behavior when it comes to the use of certain things like that. Right. Let's read a few verses out of Proverbs. Proverbs 18. Starting at verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Computers and the internet was not around when the Bible was written. Okay, 1900 years ago did not exist. It's a relatively new, a very new, considering the history of time, a very new thing, something which we have to deal with. But there are principles in Scripture that have not changed in those 1900 years. There are truths that are truths. They are immutable. They do not change. Truth is truth. Facts are facts. And when it comes to what the Bible says about social intermingling and associations, that has not changed. If it was back in the old days where some of us old folks lived and girls would get together after church and talk about their boyfriends, the same thing is still true today. It's just they're using social media to do it. And I think there are a lot of ways that sometimes you're older, you don't keep up with the things as they've transpired. And to be honest with you, I don't get on. If you send me a direct message on Facebook, I won't read it because I don't look at Facebook. Once in a while, I'll see something. Once in a while. But stuff that we've done at the church, somebody does it for me. Anything we do at the academy, the college, someone does that. I have no interest in doing it. There's no reason for me to do it. And furthermore, I don't want to know what some of you might be doing. I don't want to know what's in your heart. We always say, you never know what's in somebody's heart, not until Facebook. Now you know exactly what people are thinking because they put it in a permanent record on Facebook. And I could do without Instagram and Twitter, you know, all those things. It's just, to me, a waste of time. I don't need it. So you understand where I'm coming from? You know, I'm not keeping up the times. You know, I'm not cool. I don't need those things. To me, it's a waste of time. I understand there are some values in certain things. If you have children that are overseas, they can FaceTime you. That's a blessing. There are things you can do to communicate with people. I resisted texting for a long time. Then I found out if you text somebody, it saves you a long conversation. So there's a place for having texting. You know, you don't have to call them, well, how's your mother doing? And, you know, go through all how the kids and the family. You don't have to answer all that. You just write to the point. And you can abbreviate what you say. I mean, you can put letters instead of words. So I understand the purpose behind texting. But you have to be careful because there's an autocorrect on texting, and you can send something that you didn't intend to send. It could be embarrassing. So you have to be careful when you're texting. Read your text before you send it, please, please. But there are some ills that go with the internet and with our phones. They're predators. There are people who get involved in illicit relationships. There's pornography. There's gossip. There's lies. There's misinformation. There's a lot of garbage and misinformation. And we have to sort through that. We have to be careful. And in many cases, we're better off not to even be involved in it. And before I get into a lot of these points and a lot of the scripture, let me say something. The biblical principle is, when it comes to interacting with people, if you're not part of the problem, and if you're not part of the solution, it's really none of your business. And a lot of the social media, you're involving yourself with things that you don't have to face somebody. You just start pouring on your opinion. You've not heard them. You don't know them. You don't know anything about them. And you could damage someone. They call it cyberbullying, to the point that someone could actually commit suicide because people ganged up on them through social media. One way to avoid that, don't get involved in it. Don't get involved in it. If you're not part of the problem, you're not part of the solution, then it's none of your business. And if you're part of the problem, then go to the person. Don't do it on the internet. Go to them privately, quietly. That's what Scripture says. Go to them and say, here's what I've heard. Is this true? Let's get this right. I don't want to miscommunicate anything. And if you're not part of the solution where you can help somebody, then you have no business talking about it. It's gossip. It's tale-bearing. And that's what the Bible talks about. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." Someone said that better not open your mouth and people think you a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. There are things that ought not to be said. There are things that we should not talk about. And then people realize where we're coming from. So we've got to be careful what we say, and particularly when it's a permanent record, when it's now kept that anyone can go back and see that. If you're a young person, your children someday could go back and possibly find things you've said or things you have posted, and that it could be very damaging to them. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." How many understand what that verse meant? Okay, you know what a busybody is? They get involved in things that are not their business. They start talking about other people and their problems and their struggles and whatever. Think about the Ten Commandments. They're found in Exodus chapter 20. And you go down the entire list of 10 commandments that are given. It's so easy to violate one or more of them through social media. There are just a variety of things that people get involved in, and it's anti-God. It is anti-Christian. There are principles that we are to live by. The Bible talks in Romans about backbiters. We're to avoid backbiting. So there are several things that we see. First of all, here's some of the reasons that people get involved and reasons they should avoid social media. And particularly, we're talking about Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. There are people who are seeking validation. They've been discouraged through their life because they didn't think they're good looking, overweight or too skinny, too much acne on their face, and they're looking for validation, and they can, in a little cubicle, put stuff out and think, now I'm somebody. Now I'm big. Now people are going to like me. You know, there's something that is within all of us. We like to be accepted. And there are people that get involved in this just looking for acceptance. That's a bad place. Where you ought to get it is at home. And I realize some people don't get it at home. But you'll get it at church if you come to church. But it's not the place to find it, and it's a place to get into trouble. You're basically seeking the world's approval. We're not to live for the things of this world. The Bible's very clear. We are to live for God. You can't put the world and God together. We have to determine who are we going to live for. But if we're trying to please the world and the people of the world, we're going to say and do things just because we feel like we need validation. We need someone to accept us for who we are. Second problem I see with it is a word comparison. How many likes do you have? How many followers do you have? To be honest with you, I don't know. And I don't care. But some people do. They care very much. And they say, would you get someone to follow me? If I follow you, will you follow me? Why? What's the purpose in that? Well, part of the purpose is you're trying to outdo someone else. I want to get as many as I can, and then I'm important. How many comments do you have? How many views do you have? How many friends do you have? All those things are a matter of comparison. We look at others' accomplishments and we look at ourselves and we think, well, look at what I've done. Do you see how anti-Christian that whole idea is? Amen. Compare yourself to Christ. We're all in need. When you think yourself to be something, the Bible says we're nothing. So we have to be careful. We don't have to prove anything. We're sinners saved by grace. We're not worthy, but it's only Christ that made us worthy. Amen. So if we like validation, we want to be approved by our peers, and we start doing all these things to make ourselves look better than we are, Suddenly, it's not who we are. We're someone else. We're make-believe. We have to be careful then about comparison. Third problem with social media is a matter of bitterness. There are people, they get on social media because they're angry and they want people to know how they feel. They want to know, you know, I hate this, I hate that. And they want to tear down people and tear down things. You know, and they'll oppose anything they disagree with. It's not a normal discussion. They just determine, I'm going to vent my feelings. Now I'm going to let people know what's going on in my life. You know what would be better? Is to go to someone that can counsel you and help you. Get over your bitterness. Get in the Bible. Begin reading it. And if you spent more time in the Bible than you spent on social media, it might be helpful. So we have to be careful about bitterness and expressing bitterness and anger. Then the fourth thing that I see that is a problem is caring about the wrong things. It's a vanity trap. I still don't quite get this. On Instagram, everybody's got a camera. There's a picture of them. Somebody's taking a picture of them holding a camera up. I don't get that. Now, maybe some of you young people can explain that to me, but I don't get it. Well, maybe I do get it. Would you just say that's vanity?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And then you see people that are dressed improperly, doing things that they ought not to be doing. And they're publishing it for all the world to see. Not just your friends, the world can see a lot of the stuff.
Right.
We're caring about the wrong things. We ought to care about tangible things. We ought to care about our family and our true relationships. Several years ago when we started the college, it still was not real prominent, but people were starting really to get into texting, and I wasn't into it yet. And I was driving a van, and there's, I think the choir was traveling, and there were two kids, a boy and a girl, sitting behind me on a bench, and they weren't talking at all. They were texting to one another. And I turned around and said, they're right there. Just tell them. Just talk to them. But there was something about it that they wanted to text. Do you realize your association of people and being able to communicate and talk face-to-face is important?
Amen. Very important.
That's how social life should be. And our people feel all alone, so they get in a little cubicle in a basement or a bedroom, and they think, now I'm really well known, and you're so alone, you don't realize how alone you are. But if you're around friends and you talk and communicate with people, that's God's plan. We all need friends. We all need people to help and support us and communicate with and to love and for them to love us. When we start caring about the wrong things, caring about things that are vain, caring about our looks, our appearance, our money, our possessions. You know, it's very, very prone to that. Number five, I'll just call this noise. It's the identification trap. There's all this garbage out there, and suddenly we're starting to like things, or we're associating ourselves to things that are not right.
That's right.
We never research them. Now look, I'm not saying this to be controversial, but we live in a day and hour where there is a Marxist philosophy that has penetrated our universities and our public schools, and that's why we're seeing riots and people walking through the streets with signs, putting them in their front yard, and they don't even realize the heart of that is Marxism. Now, some of you are going to think, well, what's the big deal? I recently knocked on a lot of doors, and I met a lot of people from Poland, Romania, and some other countries that were communist countries. Without exception, here's what they said. What is going on? Don't people see? This is how communism took over our country. This is how it began. Don't they see that? That's scary. Well, what's wrong with that? Our former president, Ronald Reagan, had a good example. He said, in the Soviet Union years ago, back in the 80s, it would take 15 years to be able to get a car. You'd have to put that money down, pay for it. 15 years later, you get the car. So this man went in, and he did what he had to do. He paid for it. He ordered the car, and the guy said, "We're going to give it to you on this particular date." And the man responded, "Is it going to be the morning or afternoon?" He said, "Well, what difference does it make?" He said, "Well, the plumber's coming in the morning." Literally, they're driving around cars that were 20, 30 years old. There are no new cars. You couldn't read the Bible. You could go only to certain churches that did not have any stand on anything. It was illegal. People smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union. People are being imprisoned because they're reading the Bible and preaching the Bible. There are food lines. The people who were in power lived down by the Black Sea in beautiful luxury. They're the ones who controlled it. But the majority of people were in poverty. Now, if that's what you want in America, that's where that leads. That's why America fought wars against communism. They didn't want it to come to our shores. But unfortunately, it's permeated the internal part of our fabric. People don't realize what communism looks like. But there have been genocides in the name of communism, and it's going on today. This is not new. This has been going on, and it's going on now. We have an element of that in our country today. And when you like something that's part of that, you better research it, know who they are and where they came from and where they stand. Because you're going to associate yourself with those same things. Do you want to associate yourself with people that are burning down our cities? People are destroying businesses. You better be careful who you like and what you follow. There's a lot of noise out there. You want to be careful that you don't get caught up in it. And then the next one I'll call convenient friendships. You know, we don't have much risk. When you're online, if on social media, if they're your friend, they drop you or block you or something, it's all right, it's not a big deal. But if it's someone you meet and talk to and communicate with, it's not so convenient. Then it hurts a lot more. And so you can have very casual friendships, and you say, "Oh, this is my friend, that's my friend," when in reality, you don't know if they're your friend at all. And so it develops relationships that are not lasting relationships, in some cases not good relationships. Number 7 is a very obvious one. That's wasting time. The average time, according to what I've read, and I don't know if it's subjective to a certain degree, but the average time on social media, the average person is 3.5 hours a day. 3.5 hours a day. You could read a biography of a great Christian. You could read several chapters of the Bible. You could read a few books of the Bible. 3.5 hours. There's work you could do. You clean your room. It is a time waster. I didn't know what Facebook was, but I was visiting a Bible college, and I went out to get a sandwich, and when I went there, there was a few students from the college that were sitting there. This wasn't around here. It wasn't our school, but there's a student sitting there, and I see him just, he's flipping through, "Here's my girlfriend, here she is again, you know, here's my pictures." And he sat there the whole time I was eating, just flipping through, looking at all the pictures. I thought, what in the world's he doing? Why is he doing that? What? And I didn't look at him and say, "Now there's a spiritual giant." I didn't look at him and say, "Now there's a godly young man." I don't know if he's doing anything wrong. It's just, what are you doing? Get a job. You have something to do. Even if you work part-time, do something. Time is valuable. You can never recapture it. Once it's gone, it's gone. And we have to be careful. Use our time wisely. It can be a distraction. Number 8 is isolation. It can be a secrecy trap. We do things alone, we think nobody knows. And yet at the same time, everybody knows. But we think because we're alone, no one knows. Now before we do, even if we do something in secret, God knows. But now not only God, everybody in the world knows. And so what we do in secret. We hide and think nothing will come of it. And there's so many problems that occur later on. For students in the academy and the college, it can ruin your testimony because you thought what you did, no one will ever find out. Someday you may want to get a job and something will come back and haunt you.
That's right.
People look now. I mean, if we hire anybody, first thing we do is we go look at their social media. We find out what do they believe? Where do they stand? We have a missionary come. We look at their social media. And it just tells you a whole lot about them. And it'll tell a whole lot about you, what you put on it. Number 9, selfishness. There's a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not covet. Heard that before? Probably the least preached on sin is covetousness. But yet it's listed as one of the Ten Commandments. Not to covet our neighbor's wife, his house, his animals. Coveting is a sin against God. Not just man, but against God.
Right.
We ought to be content with such things that we have. But selfishness gets in the way. It's all about us. Social media doesn't help people. I mean, there are things that we can do, I suppose, that might. But for the most part, it's about us. It's about me. And what can I get? How can I profit from this? As we think of all the use of social media, what could we get by without? What do we have to have? Could we do it without it completely?
Amen.
There are people that do. There are people that say, I still got my flip phone, that's all I know. And they may be happier than a lot of other people.
Right.
I don't know if you can buy just a phone that could call and text. I don't know if you can even buy one now. Can? Okay, see Mark afterward. He'll find it. He's got a lead for us. But if you just have a phone, you can call and text. That maybe that's the best thing. I don't know. But if we can't control it, that is what we ought to do. If you can't control it. Literally, I have seen people shaking when they lose their phone. They are frantic. There are people, they lock their phone. People go to bed with their phone. They don't let anybody see what's on their phone. They don't want anyone to know what they're doing. They're doing it in isolation. But it becomes a serious addiction, becomes a problem. It is anti-God and anti-Christian. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 18. The idea of talebearing goes all the way back to the law in the book of Leviticus. It says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Chapter 18. Through desire, man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So a fool doesn't even try to find the truth. They just like the thrill of gossip and saying things and finding out who's doing what and what's going on. You just don't know what's true and what's not true. Now look, this is not a political announcement, but I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime where there's so many false things said about our president. Now, I've seen animosity and, you know, you see mudslinging and things like that, but literally every time something comes out in the news, you've got to check it out. You just can't believe that it's true. You don't know. I've never seen like it. And it permeates our society. You can just say what you want about anybody, and the accusation makes you guilty. Just the accusation. Well, the Bible talks about that as a Christian. We're not to be talebearers and revealing secrets and things about other people. In fact, in Matthew, it talks about if We have something against a brother, we go directly to them. That's the Bible way. If we hear something, there are times when you want to believe it. I remember several years ago, somebody said something about a fellow preacher, and we'd had a few problems and struggles. And what they said to me was believable. And I thought, I could believe that that happened, but you know what? I'm going to call him because I don't want to misunderstand who he is, what he said. And boy, am I glad I called him, because what I was told was absolutely false. And then when you contact someone person to person, you can usually figure it out,
right.
Usually resolve it.
Right.
But there are things people want to believe. You know what people want to believe about Bible-believing churches? They want to believe that we're all hypocrites.
Right.
They want to believe that we're unloving and uncaring. And if they hear something, even if it's a rumor, they're going to believe it. They'll repeat it. They'll talk to other people about it. And they're going to try and annihilate you through their social media because they want to believe it. You know what the Bible calls them? A fool. They're a fool. Only a fool doesn't seek understanding. Verse 13, chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. One of the things I was taught in Bible college, I was a psychology minor, Christian counseling, and one of the first things that I was taught by my professor, be a good listener. Listen to what people are saying. And not just what they're saying. Listen to what they mean. Listen to the heart of what they're saying. Because sometimes people talk to you and it's like it's hard to figure out, you know, what's the problem? You know, as a man, as a pastor, it's like, all right, here's a problem now, here's what you do, you got to fix it. But when you can't figure it out, you have to listen. And sometimes what you hear is, this person's just hurting. And they just need someone to talk to. And after I figure that out, I've had it happen numerous times. Someone comes to my office and they start talking about all these problems. And they go from one to another to another. And, you know, I'm trying to get a grasp on what to say to them. And finally they say, wow, thank you, Pastor, for your counsel. It's been such a help to me. I didn't say anything. They just wanted somebody to listen. They just need to unload. But sometimes we don't really hear what's happening to someone. You've got to listen. And usually there's sort of a circular pattern. Whatever the real problem is, they always come back to it. You know, they have all these other things, and then they come back to it. If you're a good listener, you'll hear what their real problem is. But sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I know what to do. Here's how you solve that. Well, listen to what they're saying first. Don't jump ahead. We ought to be good listeners. Social media, you can just jump to conclusions. You don't hear the whole matter. It can create a lot of problems. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. One of the ways to deal with it, Proverbs 26, 20, says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Do you ever try to argue with somebody that won't argue? It's hard to carry on an argument. It's just, they look in the face and they don't say anything. And, you know, we'll say something. You don't say anything. How do you argue with that? If somebody's going to be a talebearer, they need someone to respond. They want you to respond back and argue with them. But if there's no wood, the fire goes out. 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's not true. Words do hurt people. And sometimes you can't take it back because they think, well, I know you apologized, but you meant it. You can wound people by words and what you say to them or about them. We have to be careful what we say. But when you're on social media, we're not always that careful. We get caught up as talebearers and gossip and repeating things that's none of our business or things that we don't know, we've not verified. Quite a long time ago, there was someone in the school that came and they said, oh, there's people gossiping. They're saying things. And I said, really? And you know, as an administrator, Brother Young knows this, it's frustrating. It's like, well, All right, I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm going to follow the trail, and I'm going to get to the bottom and see who's saying all this stuff. And so I said, well, who told you that? And I went to them, and then I went to someone else. I went to someone else. And after about 15 people, you know where I found out? It was the person reporting it that started it. Came right back to that person. We have to be careful. We're not to bear false witness. We're not to be talebearers. We don't damage another person or another Christian. Know the facts. And if you don't know the facts, don't restate it. Don't just assume it's true. Don't just take for granted it's true. Learn how to research and, you know exactly what's right. Not to bear false witness against our neighbors, one of the Ten Commandments. Proverbs 17 says in verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Social media is not really the culprit. The culprit's in the heart. Right. Social media gives an avenue for it to come out. And we start saying things and sharing things that are there in our heart that have no business coming out. Sometimes every thought that enters our mind, sometimes anyone in authority, whether it be a parent, teacher, principal, a pastor, a government leader, we don't like something. We tell everybody what we think of them. Well, that's not a biblical way to deal with problems. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The idea of communications is our association with people. If there would be one verse that might be closest to social media, that's it. Communicating with people that have bad intent or are corrupt or thinking evil things. Be not deceived, it says. Don't be deceived by it. They corrupt good manners. 1 Timothy 5:13, it says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Now here's a picture. I grew up in a day when most women didn't work outside of the home. They worked in the home, and they worked very hard. I remember my mother driving a tractor with a disc behind her, plowing and feeding the animals. I mean, my grandparents, both grandmothers, they all worked very hard, but they worked in the home. But if somebody didn't work, if they were lazy, you know what they did? They found out what's the latest gossip. And in those days, they had what they called a party line. How many here had a party line? Oh, my goodness, a lot of people. So you'd be on the phone, and you hear a click. It's like, Maddie, get off the phone. Our neighbor's listening in just to see what's going on. You know what you call that? A busybody.
That's right.
A busybody. They just want to know the latest things. A man that drove a backhoe, a big, tough guy. I mean, he had a filthy mouth. But he knew everybody's business in three counties. Yeah, he could tell you, and he didn't mind telling you about, oh, this guy and this person and that. And they'd tell you about all this stuff. It's like, why do I need to know that? I got enough problems myself. I don't need to know their problems.
Right.
Call that a busybody. They're busy about the wrong things, interested in other people's things. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now that's still in the Bible. Teaching virtue to young ladies. There's a lot of social media. It's not virtuous. So what do we do? How do we deal with it? Number one, restrain your words. Be careful what you say. Keep silent about things that's none of your business. Restrain your words. Secondly, don't isolate yourself. Don't be afraid to socialize with people. Be able to talk face to face. Don't hide what you're saying. Don't do it privately. Do it as a group. Take pleasure in understanding. Take pride in the fact that you pursue the truth and you don't just repeat things that you don't know for sure. If somebody comes to you and you say, "Oh, you'll never guess what I just heard." Right away, you know, it's not verified. How many times do you read something in the paper? It says, allegedly. Well, if it's alleged and supposedly people came and made statements, who are they? We don't know. We don't know that it's true. Mark it off. Take pleasure in understanding. The fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but a wise person is interested in the truth. Don't dishonor yourself. When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. Don't dishonor yourself. Keep your testimony. Be proud about your testimony that I'm trying to live for God. Be a bubbling brook, so to speak. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Have wisdom. Don't get caught up in gossip. Don't get caught up in things that are not true. But speak wisdom. And if somebody knows you say something, remember the slogan they had? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. There's veracity to what they had to say. Well, that'll be true of us. And when people know, they hear something from us, they know that's the gospel truth. Don't put yourself in a vulnerable position where you're going to get beat up. Cyberbullying, people saying bad things about you. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, his lips are a snare to his soul. All those things are avoidable by just avoiding that aspect of social media. Should you throw your phone away? You know, I can't tell you that. Maybe you should. Should you stop getting involved in any of the social media things? Maybe. I don't know. But this I know. There are biblical principles by which we should live. And you violate those, you're violating the Word of God. Don't be slack in your work. If you're spending all that time in social media, don't you think there are more constructive things you can do? And when you get involved in those things, you won't have time for all that. Give yourself to the Lord. Surrender your will to His. And ask God to sanctify all your associations. And if it's social media, you can deal with it properly. Look, one way to use it in a positive way is just giving scripture. I know a few preachers, the only thing they tweet is once a week they'll tweet a Christian song or a scripture verse. And that's the only thing they send out on social media. That's all they're involved. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad idea. But you start getting involved in all the arguments and all the controversy, before you know it, you're stuck in the weeds. And you don't need to be there. So rise above that. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." We ought to seek the fruit of the Spirit. In 2 John, he said, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." He illustrated something. Writing is a good thing. Getting a letter from someone, that's a good thing, but he said, "I want to see you face to face." Learn to communicate with people. Learn how to look people in the eye. Learn how to speak up so people can hear you. My little pet peeve. For all our millennials, don't mumble. When you're hard of hearing, I don't know what you're saying. Your lips are moving. I know you're saying something. I don't know what it is. Don't mumble. Speak up. Speak clearly. And then stop talking. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world." And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Someday in eternity, we stand before God and our life is ended. We stand before him, he's not going to say, how many likes did you have? How many best friends forever did you have? He's not going to ask, how much did you communicate on social media? It's going to be, what did you do of lasting value? What did you do for eternity's sake? What influence did you have in people's lives?
Right.
If you can use some aspect of social media for eternity, God bless you, do it. But if you get caught up in the things of the world and things of no value and things that are not reputable, then you need to make some changes. And you need to do it quickly. Don't fool around with it. Get it right. And if you're addicted, maybe you need to seek help, someone to guide you.
Right.
Let's bow for prayer.